Well, hello again, tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. If you have a handy Bible, or a Bible that's handy for you, turn please to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 29. I'm going to read a few wee scriptures to you today. Verse 29 of Romans 8 says, "For whom," excuse me, "for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow, that is powerful, powerful passage of scripture. God loves the believer. Now, I didn't say he loves the religionist. You know, there's a big deal of difference between a religious kind of a fella and a believer. A religionist trusts that he's a member of the true church, and if he obeys what his church teaches and tries his best and does good deeds, etc., etc., he will get to heaven. The true believer, on the other hand, trusts and rests on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Jesus finished the work of salvation, and the true believer believes that and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God loves the believer, and nothing can stop him loving his people. In verse 29 of Romans 8, we read about a people that he foreknew. Now, quite literally, this was a people he foreloved. To know, you read the scriptures and you say, well, Adam knew his wife. He loved his wife. They had a child. To know, to foreknow. Yeah, he knew. He loved them. He literally had a people he foreloved. We were loved before time. Are you a believer? You were loved. Yeah, you. Think, no, nobody else. You were loved before time. And then again, verse 29, we read the believers were predestined. Boy, this happened when? Away before time. And the old Spurgeon, he quipped one time. He says, "I'm so glad that God chose me before he saw me. If he'd waited till he'd seen me, he might not have wanted me." Oh, I love his sense of humor. But every true believer, every believer in Christ has been predestined. And nothing, therefore, can stop God from loving his people. Are you one of his people? Have you trusted in him? Nothing can stop him from loving you. Well, how many people did he predestinate? Well, as many as he foreknew, foreloved. And he called people. Yeah, verse 30, he called people. Now, how many of the predestined people are called? Well, look at the text. All of them, for whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And so verse 30, it goes on, it says that we've been justified. How many of the called are justified? Well, all of them. All of the called are justified. What does it mean to justify? Well, it means to acquit. It's a bigger word than pardon. We have not just been pardoned. Oh, I know we talk about it that way and we sing hymns saying that. But it's bigger than pardon. When you're pardoned, you're still guilty, aren't you? Well, you're just not going to be punished for it, but you're still guilty. You did it. But we are more than pardoned. We are justified. And that means to acquit. Bigger than pardon. Acquit means we didn't. Acquit means we didn't do it. We didn't do it. And verse 30. And how many of the glorified ones does he glorify? Look at it. All of them. For whom he justified, them he also glorified. My goodness. This thing's a completed work. This thing's a done deal. How do we bring God's chosen back home to where they know the love of Christ? Well, do you know how? It's by the simple preaching of the old-fashioned gospel of Christ crucified. It's by the gospel which tells us of his doing, his dying, his rising again. Yes, his doing, his dying, his rising again. It's by the good news of the substitutionary sacrifice of the one true and omnipotent Savior. In Christ, we are not guilty. Not because of any work we have done, but because of the work he has done on our behalf. The believer is saved. Well, you say, I'm a believer, Brother Miles, but I still sin. Yep. Join the club. Oh, I know some holiness preachers been preaching that you're not going to sin. That's ridiculous. That's a false doctrine. And that'll put people into bondage. Oh, not that we have a license to sin. But here, it's part of the deal. We're saved. But we're not perfect. There's no such a thing as sinless perfection coming out of us. Our sinless perfection is in Christ. I love what Luther said in this matter. He said, a Christian is always a sinner, always a penitent, and yet always right with God. Now notice, we have a he Christianity. Did you notice that when we read that? What do you mean, he Christianity? Brother Miles. Well, read it for yourself. He foreknew, he predestinated, he called, he justified, he glorified. It's a he faith that we have today. He is the God who sees the end from the beginning. And God sees redemption as already accomplished. We are already glorified. Did you hear that? We are already glorified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. How is that possible? Well, in biblical language, this is what has been called the prophetic past tense. Many things are set down in Scripture so as if they're already accomplished, and they haven't actually been accomplished at any particular point in time, but they're going to be. For example, it was possible for God to tell men in the Old Testament that their sins were paid for. Now, they were paid for when Jesus went to the cross. But when the prophecy was issued, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. He wasn't yet there on the earth. But God can speak of things as if they have already happened when in time they haven't happened. It was always accomplished in the mind of God. It was a certainty. It was a reality, though not yet accomplished in time. And did you know what? Let's make this simple. God looks at us and sees us as already in heaven. Oh, that's worth repeating. God looks at us and sees us as if we were already in heaven. Oh boy, that blows the saved and lost theory, doesn't it? It's good news. Sometimes I feel sure everybody else is going to make it to glory, but not me. You've been there? Oh yeah. But listen to me. The best is yet to come. And then Paul asks the question in verse 31. What he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Or he could have said, if God's going to do all these things, remember that it's God who's doing it. The foreloving belongs to God. The predestination belongs to God. The call belongs to God. The justification belongs to God. The glorification belongs to God. Who can be against us? Notice that little word, us. U-S, us. The us are the foreloved. The us are the predestinated. The us are the called. The us are the justified. The us are the glorified. Now look at verse 38 and verse 39. Let's give it a wee read. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Notice that us again. Nothing shall separate us. Oh, here's the good news for the believer. You can never be separated from the love of God. Did you hear me? When will you be separated? You will never be separated. You will never, there will never be a moment in history when God will cease to love you. Paul, he goes on, he says, I am persuaded. What are you persuaded of? That death is not going to separate us. Boy, I like to hear that. We're running mighty low on persuasion these days. A lot of people seem to be dropping off. But the apostle says that he's persuaded. And what are you persuaded of, Paul? That death cannot separate us from Christ's love. Oh, the long icy finger of death could grip any of us at any time. No one is immune. Or immune. Paul wrote this to some folks who were ready to be fed to the lions, yeah. But the cold, clammy hand of death cannot separate us from the love of God. Did you hear me? When we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, do you know who's going to be there with us? Jesus. Hallelujah. Death will not separate us from his love. In peace let me resign my breath and thy salvation see. My sins deserved eternal death, but Jesus died for me. Neither death nor life can separate us from his love. Death cannot separate us from Jesus, for he's died for us. And life cannot separate us from Jesus, because Jesus is ever living for us. Life, oh, life with all its problems. Life with its perplexities, life with all its difficulties, life with all its disappointments. Well, it can't separate us from the love of God in Christ. Oh, life with all its trials, life with all its temptations, life with all its tears and storms cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. No matter how much you may feel that you've failed or let the Lord down, none of that can separate you from the love of God. He still loves you. Yeah, you failed. He still loves you. No matter what you're going through, he still loves you. And then Paul continues, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels. Well, there's two classes of angels. There's good angels and bad angels. Good angels would never dare to separate us from God's love. And bad angels can't separate us, even if they dared. I'm persuaded that neither death or angels, death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. That means the organized array of Satan's army. Not even that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The worst onslaught that he sends against you, it can't separate you from the love of God in Christ. Do you hear me? Are you listening? It can't separate you. And if God loves you, you will not be destroyed. He will stand with you. He will not abandon you. I don't care how you've failed, how you've fallen. He stands with you. He will not stop loving you. Don't listen to Satan's lie. Well, what's his lie? His lie is that God doesn't care for you anymore. You failed him. Oh, no, no. Paul goes on and says, I'm persuaded that things present cannot separate us. We live in a world of change, and there's, you know, it's changing all the time, but there's nothing new in it. It's a big, great mass of rebellion against God, and just there's different ways of expressing the rebellion against God. There's nothing new. There's just bad things happening to different people. No, read the newspaper. What's the news? You see, such and such was beaten up, and there was theft, and there was hurt, and there were bad things. But none of these things can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Things present cannot separate you. Your present state cannot separate you. What's your state? So you say, Brother Miles, I feel very backslidden. There was once a time when I felt close to the Lord, but things present have taken their toll. Hey, listen to me. God loves you just the same. He's not been shocked by you. No. You may have been shocked by you, but he hasn't. He's not shocked by you. Your sin may indeed bring dishonor, or may have brought dishonor. Your sin might make you blush, but yeah, God hasn't changed. He loves you still. Hello? Did you hear me? He loves you still. Why don't you come back to him? Start walking with him again. Start rejoicing him and in him again. Tell him hallelujah. Tell him he's lovely. Tell him he's wonderful. He loves you still. Come back to him. I am persuaded that things to come, says Paul, cannot separate us from his love. Oh boy, the future can't separate us from his love. We're unsure of the future. We've got an uncertainty in the future. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know what's going to happen. We have knowledge of one future event, and it's called Judgment Day. You can be certain. It is appointed once to die. Afterwards, the judgment. Oh, yeah. But I'm persuaded the height nor depth cannot separate us from God. Things to come cannot separate us from God. The Judgment Day will not separate us from the love of God. Why? If we're covered by the blood, if we're trusted in the blood of the Lord Jesus, if we're believers. Yes, and then as I was saying, I'm persuaded that height nor depth, that's a puzzling thing. It can't separate us from the love of God. Hey, did you hear the story of the Irish evangelist, the old-time Irish evangelist who wouldn't share the gospel when he was on an airplane flight? Someone asked him, he said, Why don't you share the gospel when you're flying, when you're on the plane? Oh, I don't witness, he says the Irish man. He says, I don't witness when I'm up there because the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Oh, he misunderstood the passage. Yeah, but what does it mean, height nor depth? Now, recent scholarship has shown this to mean superstitions. Yeah, superstitions cannot separate us from the love of God. A true Christian, you know what he can do? He can sit down at a table with 13 people. He can spill salt. He can break a mirror. He can put an umbrella up inside a room. He can walk under a ladder. He can have a black cat run across his path. And all this can happen to him on Friday the 13th. Yet none of it can separate him from the love of God in Christ. I am persuaded, says Paul. Oh, I love it. He says, and no other creature, literally any created thing, nothing created can stop God loving us. What can possibly separate us from God's love? What can possibly separate God, possibly stop God from loving you? Sometimes life is a fog. Everything's as clear as mud. We don't know where to turn. Have you been there? You felt that God has forsaken you? You felt that God doesn't love you? Well, it's a lie. It's a lie. Read Romans again, verse in chapter 8, verse 30 to 39. Believer, if you want to know who God loves and who he went to the cross for, then look in the mirror. Look at Calvary. Go on ahead after that and look to Calvary, and there see the holy, harmless Lamb of God dying in your place and in your stead. So listen to these amazing truths again. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the gospel truth. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. If you've got friends who could benefit from this message, send it to them. It's real easy to do that. hey, listen, I have a lot of books waiting to be read. No books I've written. We need homes for them. You can find them all on Miles McKee at Amazon.com or Amazon.co.uk. Amazon carries them. And it's very easy to get, and they're very inexpensive, and they're packed with the gospel. So let's hope that you get that. And by the way, I send out a Wednesday word, gospel-packed Wednesday word each week. If you want to get a hold of it, just email me, miles@milesmckee.com. miles@milesmckee.com. Okay, I think that's going to wrap her up for today. May the Lord bless you and cause his face to shine upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. If you have a handy Bible or a Bible that's handy for you, turn please to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 29. I'm going to read a few wee scriptures to you today. Verse 29 of Romans 8 says, "For whom," excuse me, "for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, that is powerful, powerful passage of scripture. God loves the believer. Now, I didn't say he loves the religionist. You know, there's a big deal of difference between a religious kind of a fella and a believer. A religionist trusts that he's a member of the true church, and if he obeys what his church teaches and tries his best and does good deeds, etc., etc., he will get to heaven. The true believer, on the other hand, trusts and rests on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Jesus finished the work of salvation, and the true believer believes that, believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God loves the believer, and nothing can stop him loving his people. In verse 29 of Romans 8, we read about a people that he foreknew. Now, quite literally, this was a people he foreloved. To know, you read the scriptures and you say, well, Adam knew his wife, he loved his wife, they had a child. To know, to foreknow. Yeah, he knew, he loved them. He literally had a people he foreloved. We were loved before time. Are you a believer? You were loved. Yeah, you. Think, no, nobody else. You were loved before time. Then again, verse 29, we read the believers were predestined. Boy, this happened when? Away before time. And the old Spurgeon, he quipped one time. He says, I'm so glad that God chose me before he saw me. If he'd waited till he'd seen me, he might not have wanted me. Oh, I love his sense of humor. But every true believer, every believer in Christ has been predestined. And nothing, therefore, can stop God from loving his people. Are you his, one of his people? Have you trusted in him? Nothing can stop him from loving you. Well, how many people did he predestinate? Well, as many as he foreknew, foreloved. And he called people, yeah, verse 30, he called people. Now, how many of the predestined people are called? Well, look at the text. All of them. For whom he did predestinate them, he also called. And so verse 30, it goes on, it says that we've been justified. How many of the called are justified? Well, all of them. All of the called are justified. What does it mean to justify? Well, it means to acquit. It's a bigger word than pardon. We have not just been pardoned. Oh, I know we talk about it that way and we sing hymns saying that. But it's bigger than pardon. When you're pardoned, you're still guilty, aren't you? Oh, you're just not going to be punished for it, but you're still guilty. You did it. But we are more than pardoned. We are justified, and that means to acquit. Bigger than pardon. Acquit means we didn't. Acquit means we didn't do it. We didn't do it. In verse 30, how many of the glorified ones does he glorify? Look at it. All of them. For whom he justified, them he also glorified. My goodness. This thing's a completed work. This thing's a done deal. Now, how do we bring God's chosen back home to where they know the love of Christ? Well, do you know how? It's by the simple preaching of the old-fashioned gospel of Christ crucified. It's by the gospel which tells us of his doing, his dying, his rising again. Yes, his doing, his dying, his rising again. It's by the good news of the substitutionary sacrifice of the one true and omnipotent Savior. In Christ, we are not guilty. Not because of any work we have done, but because of the work he has done on our behalf. The believer is saved. Well, you say, I'm a believer, Brother Miles, but I still sin. Yep. Join the club. Oh, I know some holiness preacher's been preaching that you're not going to sin. That's ridiculous. That's a false doctrine. And that'll put people into bondage. Oh, not that we have a license to sin. But here, it's part of the deal. We're saved. But we're not perfect. There's no such a thing as sinless perfection coming out of us. Our sinless perfection is in Christ. I love what Luther said in this matter. He said, a Christian is always a sinner, always a penitent, and yet always right with God. Now notice, we have a he Christianity. Did you notice that when we read that? What do you mean, he Christianity? Brother Miles. Well, read it for yourself. He foreknew, he predestinated, he called, he justified, he glorified. It's a he faith that we have today. He is the God who sees the end from the beginning. God sees redemption as already accomplished. We are already glorified. Did you hear that? We are already glorified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. How is that possible? Well, in biblical language, this is what has been called the prophetic past tense. Many things are set down in Scripture so as if they're already accomplished, and they haven't actually been accomplished at any particular point in time, but they're going to be. For example, it was possible for God to tell men in the Old Testament that their sins were paid for. Now, they were paid for when Jesus went to the cross. But when the prophecy was issued, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. He wasn't yet there on the earth. But God can speak of things as if they have already happened when in time they haven't happened. It was always accomplished in the mind of God. It was a certainty. It was a reality, though not yet accomplished in time. And did you know what? Let's make this simple. God looks at us and sees us as already in heaven. Oh, that's worth repeating. God looks at us and sees us as if we were already in heaven. Oh boy, that blows the saved and lost theory, doesn't it? It's good news. Sometimes I feel sure everybody else is going to make it to glory, but not me. You've been there? Oh yeah. But listen to me, the best is yet to come. And then Paul asks the question in verse 31. What he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Or he could have said, if God is going to do all these things, remember that it's God who's doing it. The foreloving belongs to God. The predestination belongs to God. The call belongs to God. The justification belongs to God. The glorification belongs to God. Who can be against us? Notice that little word, us. U-S, us. The us are the foreloved. The us are the predestinated. The us are the called. The us are the justified. The us are the glorified. Now look at verse 38 and verse 39. Let's give it a wee read. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Notice that us again. Nothing shall separate us. Oh, here's the good news for the believer. You can never be separated from the love of God. Did you hear me? When will you be separated? You will never be separated. You will never, there will never be a moment in history when God will cease to love you. Paul, he goes on, he says, I am persuaded. What are you persuaded of? That death is not going to separate us. Boy, I like to hear that. We're running mighty low on persuasion these days. A lot of people seem to be dropping off. But the apostle says that he's persuaded. And what are you persuaded of, Paul? That death cannot separate us from Christ's love. Oh, the long icy finger of death could grip any of us at any time. And no one is immune. Or immune. Paul wrote this to some folks who were ready to be fed to the lions, yeah. But the cold, clammy hand of death cannot separate us from the love of God. Did you hear me? When we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, do you know who's going to be there with us? Jesus. Hallelujah. Death will not separate us from his love. In peace let me resign my breath and thy salvation see. My sins deserved eternal death, but Jesus died for me. Neither death nor life can separate us from his love. Death cannot separate us from Jesus, for he's died for us. And life cannot separate us from Jesus, because Jesus is ever living for us. Life, oh, life with all its problems, life with its perplexities, life with all its difficulties, life with all its disappointments, well, it can't separate us from the love of God in Christ. Oh, life with all its trials, life with all its temptations, life with all its tears and storms cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. No matter how much you may feel that you've failed or let the Lord down, none of that can separate you from the love of God. He still loves you. Yeah, you failed, he still loves you. No matter what you're going through, he still loves you. And then Paul continues, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels. Well, there's two classes of angels. There's good angels and bad angels. Good angels would never dare to separate us from God's love. And bad angels can't separate us, even if they dared. I'm persuaded that neither death or angels, death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. That means the organized array of Satan's army. Not even that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The worst onslaught that he sends against you, it can't separate you from the love of God in Christ. Do you hear me? Are you listening? It can't separate you. And if God loves you, you will not be destroyed. He will stand with you. He will not abandon you. I don't care how you've failed, how you've fallen. He stands with you. He will not stop loving you. Don't listen to Satan's lie. Well, what's his lie? His lie is that God doesn't care for you anymore. You failed him. Oh, no. Paul goes on and says, I'm persuaded that things present cannot separate us. We live in a world of change, and there's, you know, it's changing all the time, but there's nothing new in it. It's a big, great mass of rebellion against God, and just there's different ways of expressing the rebellion against God. There's nothing new. It's just bad things happening to different people. No, read the newspaper. What's the news? You see, such and such was beaten up, and there was theft, and there was hurt, and there were bad things. But none of these things can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Things present cannot separate you. Your present state cannot separate you. What's your state? So you say, Brother Miles, I feel very backslidden. There was once a time when I felt close to the Lord, but things present have taken their toll. Hey, listen to me. God loves you just the same. He's not been shocked by you. No. You may have been shocked by you, but he hasn't. He's not shocked by you. Your sin may indeed bring dishonor, or may have brought dishonor. Your sin might make you blush, but yeah, God hasn't changed. He loves you still. Hello? Did you hear me? He loves you still. Why don't you come back to him? Start walking with him again. Start rejoicing him in him again. Tell him hallelujah. Tell him he's lovely. Tell him he's wonderful. He loves you still. Come back to him. I am persuaded that things to come, says Paul, cannot separate us from his love. Oh boy, the future can't separate us from his love. We're unsure of the future. We've got an uncertainty in the future. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know what's going to happen. We have knowledge of one future event, and it's called Judgment Day. You can be certain. It is appointed once today. Afterwards, the judgment. Oh yeah. But I'm persuaded that height nor depth cannot separate us from God. Things to come cannot separate us from God. The judgment day will not separate us from the love of God. Why? If we're covered by the blood, if we're trusted in the blood of the Lord Jesus, if we're believers. Yes, and then as I was saying, I'm persuaded that height nor depth, that's a puzzling thing. It can't separate us from the love of God. Hey, did you hear the story of the Irish evangelist, the old-time Irish evangelist who wouldn't share the gospel when he was on an airplane flight? Someone asked him, he said, why don't you share the gospel when you're flying, when you're on the plane? Oh, I don't witness, he says the Irish man. He says, I don't witness when I'm up there because the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Oh, he misunderstood the passage. Yeah, what does it mean, height nor depth? Now, recent scholarship has shown this to mean superstitions. Yeah, superstitions cannot separate us from the love of God. A true Christian, you know what he can do? He can sit down at a table with 13 people. He can spill salt. He can break a mirror. He can put an umbrella up inside a room. He can walk under a ladder. He can have a black cat run across his path. And all this can happen to him on Friday the 13th. Yet none of it can separate him from the love of God in Christ. I am persuaded, says Paul. Oh, I love it. He says, and no other creature, literally any created thing, nothing created can stop God loving us. What can possibly separate us from God's love? What can possibly separate God, possibly stop God from loving you? Sometimes life is a fog. Everything's as clear as mud. We don't know where to turn. Have you been there? You felt that God has forsaken you? You felt that God doesn't love you? Well, it's a lie. It's a lie. Read Romans again, in chapter 8, verse 30 to 39. Believer, if you want to know who God loves and who he went to the cross for, then look in the mirror. Look at Calvary. Go on ahead after that and look to Calvary, and there see the holy, harmless Lamb of God dying in your place and in your stead. So listen to these amazing truths again. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the gospel truth. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. If you've got friends who could benefit from this message, send it to them. It's real easy to do that. So, hey, listen, I have a lot of books waiting to be read. No books I've written. And we need homes for them. You can find them all on Miles McKee at Amazon.com or Amazon.co.uk. Amazon carries them. And it's very easy to get, and they're very inexpensive, and they're packed with the gospel. So let's hope that you get that. And by the way, I send out a Wednesday word, gospel-packed Wednesday word each week. If you want to get a hold of it, just email me, miles@milesmckee.com. miles@milesmckee.com. Okay, I think that's going to wrap her up for today. May the Lord bless you and cause his face to shine upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.